My dear friends, we live in a world full of noise. There is a cacophony of distractions continually surrounding us that demand our attention. If it is not the television or the internet or all of our different electronic devices, it's the demands of our day and of our work and of our family and of our friends and of our school and on and on and on. We have all these expectations that others place on us. It's very difficult for us to have a moment of peace, as it were, in today's world. Isn't it true? But it's also true that if we have that opportunity for a moment of peace, usually we don't take it. Usually we fill that moment with something else. We move on to the next thing, or we look for some distraction, because, my friends, we are not comfortable with silence. It feels awkward, doesn't it? Because we're not used to it. We're not used to silence. We in our era, in our age, we don't cultivate this interior peace, which, by the way, is the privileged place to find God. Elijah, in today's first reading, he goes up a mountain. You'll recall also in the gospel today, Jesus goes up on a mountain, because the mountaintop is a place set apart. It is a place secluded. It is a place where nobody else is. The gospel's careful to tell us that Jesus was alone. Jesus was alone to pray. So when we go up the mountain, and very few of us have access on a regular basis to go up a mountain to be by ourselves, but it is important that somehow we carve out somewhere, some place, even if it's in our car on the way to work, there is some sacred time, as it were, a privileged way to encounter God. But Elijah doesn't encounter God simply on the mountain. He goes up onto the mountain, and there are strong winds, but God is not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. And then there's a fire, but God is not in the fire. It is when Elijah hears a small whispering sound that he realizes he is in the presence of God. Now, God is everywhere. And God is God. He can act however he wants in our lives. And there are times when God acts in miraculous, bold, amazing ways. But most of the time, God's preferred method of communicating with us is in silence, in stillness, in quiet. It's when we go to our inner rooms, as the gospel tells us in another place, and our inner room is not so much a physical location as it is a spiritual location. It means our heart. It means we go into the recesses of who we are, the depth of our being. It's when we are naked, as it were, before ourselves and before God, metaphorically speaking, that we find God. Because that is where God wants to act in our lives. That is where all of the illusions we put on for the world are stripped away. That is where we can be truly ourselves before our Lord. Because there's nothing else and no one else there. This is where God meets us. God encounters us, and God wants to heal us and bring us life. And so, if you find in your life, perhaps you're at a point where you can't really find that silence, at least physically speaking. But it's important to remind yourself every day somehow, all right, I may not have the peace today I'd like to have, but I do know that I want that. And God, give me the resolve, give me the resources, give me the courage, the strength, the whatever it is I need to find that inner room, to find that place of quiet, to find that silence, even though it's noisy around me, that concentration for even a moment to encounter you in a unique way today. It's interesting with Peter in today's gospel. I love St. Peter, as I've told you before. One of the reasons I love St. Peter is he's bold. St. Peter acts. St. Peter perhaps found it difficult to find silence in his life because he was always talking. He always had a plan. He always was trying to figure it out and to act on it. That's a person who has great courage, who's a natural leader, who just plows forward. That's what I love about St. Peter. So he's in the boat, and as soon as he recognizes it's Jesus, everybody else thinks it's a ghost, and he knows, no, this is really Jesus. But if it is Jesus, command me, Lord, to come to you on the water. Now, I don't know, at first glance, we might think, how does that prove it's Jesus? Because what if it wasn't Jesus, and whoever this is, this ghost, tells you to come out onto the water, you're going to be in trouble. But it's because Peter knows it's Jesus that he is able to obey the command, come to me on the water. And as long as he keeps his focus on Jesus, he walks on the water. He defies gravity. He's not bound by the laws of nature, as it were, because his total focus is Jesus. And even though it's not a moment of silence, even though it is not a moment of peace because they're terrified, still, Peter, because he's focused on Jesus, is able to follow and do what Jesus asks of him. And that's the same in our lives, my dear friends, because Jesus is saying to you and me right now, come. Just as he said to Peter, come. What he means is, come, follow me. Come, allow me to lead you. Come, allow me to be the Lord in that situation in your life you don't understand. Come and have the courage to do what I'm asking you to do, because I will give you the grace and the strength and the courage and the resources you need to follow me in this situation, even if it means that I will suspend the laws of nature so you can walk on water. Come. And my dear friends, as long as we are focused on Jesus, like St. Peter, as long as we are looking at the Lord and we recognize his gaze into our eyes and we know it's Jesus, then we can go and walk on the water all day in the worst of storms if that's what Jesus is asking us to do. We follow Jesus because that's where we find life. That's where we find fulfillment. That's where we find our completion. That is why we were created. But, and this is also why I love St. Peter, he's so human. He gives us that example of someone who wants to follow Jesus, who tries to follow Jesus, but he sees the wind and the waves about him, and he becomes frightened, he becomes distracted, and he starts to to sink. And isn't that true in our lives, my friends? We want to follow Jesus, or you wouldn't be here today. And yet, we become distracted. We allow that cacophony of noise in our lives to distract us. And we start to believe those voices that say, you can't do this. You're not really such a good person. You need to get your life figured out and straightened out before you try to do something amazing for the Lord. That's a lie. That's the storms and the waves trying to make us sink. And if that is happening, then the prayer of Peter becomes our prayer, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. Do something. And what does Jesus do? Immediately, he stretches out his hand and saves Peter. The same he will do for us. So, find silence. Even if you cannot find physical silence, find that moment each day when you gaze upon Jesus. And keep your gaze on Jesus. And listen when he says, come. And finally, if you falter, ask the Lord to help. Ask the Lord to stretch out his hand and save you. It's the recipe for happiness, for fulfillment, for life. Not just life right now, but eternal life, where we will be with the Lord, where we will have that peace that no eye has seen, but yet God has prepared for those who love him.